For the purpose, critique, review, education, and positivity, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast
proudly presents the Nerdlings Podcast on the Shiny Squirrel Podcast Network. I'm WC Chronicles, your senior host.
And I am New Jersey Mike, Jersey Mike, the junior host.
And you're back. Well, you were back last week, but you're back.
You're getting into the swing of it.
You're getting back into your groove.
Yes, sir. Groove.
Not only does Stella got her groove back, Jersey Mike's got his groove back.
Stella was Angelica Houston? No.
I don't know. I just I don't remember the name of the movie title.
I'll tell you what, though. That was a good movie because she was one sexy lady. Still is.
I'm being honest with you. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Something else to nerd on. I found out a fact to something I learned about the TV show WKRP in Cincinnati.
Pamela, Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson. You remember that theme song?
Yeah. Baby, if you ever wonder whatever became of me.
Let's hit it. WKRP in Cincinnati theme song.
Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly.
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
If you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, Cincinnati WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be, just maybe think of me once in a while. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Wow.
That's a sweet theme song. I mean, that to me, I remember the theme song. It's one of those theme songs like Friends had, TV show Friends. You know, great theme song, just takes it. Greatest American Hero.
But you know, this is... What's weird about this is, like you said, it's simplicity.
Yes.
Turning an AM radio dial doesn't get more simpler than that. That's true.
But something, couple things I learned about it was when they were actually using real music on the show, the producer, you know, like if he was going to, they had a very limited budget, like $6,000, he said. And that was for their paychecks, too, okay, per week. To try and go and get a clip, say like a, something from Pink Floyd for that at the time,
wow,
or something from the Bee Gees or whatever to play in the show, it was going to cost them big bucks, like $30,000 for the music. And then he found out that he could get these small little tag scrubs that he would call, refer to them as, for like maybe $600. He could get 17 seconds of music that they would play.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And then later, after the show was off air or off season, syndication came around. That music was still being used in the show, but the cost and the rights to use it in the, because syndication is huge. They said the price went up to, you want to use the song? $100,000.
Oh, wow.
That's why back at that point in time, you don't see WKRP in Cincinnati in syndication.
Oh, wow. An expensive show.
Yeah, basically a very expensive show.
Wow.
Now, here's the question. Who was hotter, Lonnie Anderson or Jan Smithers? Bailey Quarters, remember?
Yeah, with the glasses, sometimes with her hair down. Have to go with Lonnie Anderson for my taste.
I got to go with Bailey Quarters. I mean, there's just something about the glasses, the whole nerdy thing.
Well,
the whole,
Anderson was like dating Burt Reynolds at the time, and she was in all those Glab mags, remember, Teen magazine and stuff, so I don't know.
Well, I think they brought Bailey Quarters or Jan Smithers in after a few seasons to balance it out a little bit. But it comes down to it, it's never really been brought up, you know? Lonnie?
It's like Jan or
Chrissy. What was Lonnie Anderson's character's name? Jennifer?
No.
Yeah, it was Jennifer.
Was it Jennifer?
Yeah, because Herb Tarlick was always... The salesman, the goofy suits.
I'm trying. Yeah, you had the black hair. I'm trying to think of the guy with the bald head.
That was Les Nessman.
No. He was the
Gordon Jump, big guy.
Yes, Les Nessman was the guy who went up and did the
news,
traffic reports and stuff.
The Agriculture Report. Yeah, Les Herb, Nussman, winner of the Silver Sow Award.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who Herb was.
Herb was the salesman, would sell advertising
okay,
to the station.
Okay, that was the guy with the black hair.
Yeah,
then
he was kind of the seedy guy.
Johnny Fever, whatever his name
Dr.
was.
Dr. Johnny
yeah.
Fever, the stoner of the show. And then you had Venus Flytrap, who was the R&B man.
Yeah, but that's like bringing up on Three's Company. Who's hotter, Janet or Chrissy?
Yeah. A lot of that, I mean, that's kind of, it's...
Now, in that show, I would go the opposite. I would take Janet over Chrissy, because I didn't like her airheadedness, and...
I would have to take, well, you know, the fact that you have many different Chrissys...
Okay, there you go. No. Original start of the series. You have Lonnie Anderson, and you said, what was the girl's name? Jen Smithers?
Jen Smithers. Okay. I may be mispronouncing
now,
that
now,
words,
you
but
line
sorry.
That up versus the original Janet... Joyce DeWitt and Susan Summers Chrissy. Who would you pick out of the original, out of the four?
I'm still going to take Jen Smithers, Bailey Quarters.
Okay. I would take Lonnie Anderson.
It's just but, that nerd thing she's
but
got
But then
going.
I would go with Janet over Chrissy. I didn't like her airheadedness.
Who played, after Suzanne Summers left, who's the actress that came in and played the blonde?
Jenny, her cousin.
She was tall. Yeah, I'd like,
yeah, Jenny,
I would pick her.
Was. Yeah, Jenny something. Okay.
I would pick her of all the different blondes.
Cindy Snow, that was her cousin, Cindy,
yeah, Cindy
yes.
Yeah.
Her name was Jenny Lee Harrison, I think.
That's
name?
It, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I would take her. But then Priscilla Barnes, she was still as good.
Listen.
Still is good. Anyway, so I had a chance to meet Gordon Jump once.
Oh, that must have been pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty surreal because this was when he was on the road touring doing the Maytag repairman thing.
Yes, he used to be the Maytag repairman. You always saw him in his commercials, especially around Christmas,
yeah,
I remember.
Mr. Lonely.
Hey, guess what? You need a new Maytag.
This is 20 years beyond WKRP.
Man.
But I remember hearing on the radio that he was going to be at one. I can't remember what store was sponsoring. It was one of those stores that had the washers and dryers and refrigerators.
And you actually went?
I went. He was at a store in Clackamas, and I went out there.
Did Mabel take you, or did you go by yourself?
By myself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nobody else could wrap their brain around who I was talking about.
Gotcha.
I don't know why. But I got, it's like, Gordon Jump will be here from 11 to 1.
Oh, wow.
Such and such. I'm like, I'm going. I get there, and I'm just kind of surprised. There's nobody else there to meet Gordon Jump. And he was sitting at a table, and I actually had a nice conversation with him. Asked him some questions.
And what year was this?
This would have been about 1994, 95.
Okay, so pre-cell phones where you could take pictures and stuff. You had to still have a camera.
Yep, I still had the camera.
Wow.
Don't know what I did with the picture. It's probably buried in in the Mabel archives.
Mabel's
somewhere.
Got this...
But I also had a chance to kind of falsetto meet Dr. Johnny Fever.
Oh, wow. That must have been neat.
Because Howard Hessman.
Yeah, Howard Hessman.
He was kind of everybody's favorite
yes.
at the time. And this is when, because the show started in 78. In 79, I was in sixth grade.
Nice.
And he was doing a kind of a promo tour thing at different radio stations to promote WKRP. They weren't taking calls from adults. Not at all. And I remember we would have to go out and catch the bus right at about 8 o'clock. And I was thinking right about now, near that news hour, you know, they were talking to Howard Hessman and play music and stuff while he, you know, doing his...
Yeah.
He's Dr. Johnny Fever. And I called in, you know.
And oh, wow.
Low, it's like set. The time is like 7:57. I got to be out the door at like 8:01 to catch the bus. And they're like, can you hold on? We're going to put you on the air with Dr. Johnny Fever. And I'm like, really? Yeah. So I'm like, waiting. They're doing the news. Da, 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 da. And then like, hey, you're on the air with Dr. Johnny Fever. Is this really Dr. Johnny Fever? Wow, I can't believe I'm talking to you. And then my mom's like, Wayne, you got to catch the bus. Okay, it's good talk to you. I got to go catch the bus now. Bye-bye. And then later, as I'm listening, he's like, oh, well, got to get to school. Got to get that education.
Oh, boy. That must have been that funny.
It was. Oh, it was something wow. that I don't even know if because, I don't know if anybody ever heard it. You know, I wish I could go back and find the archives through KEX.
Yeah,
it was on, but
wow.
It ain't gonna happen.
No.
So we went to Bonnie Springs. This is the Old West town that was established in about... It was a stop for miners in 1843, but in about 1952, the Bonnie Spring family, well, I don't know what their last name is, they bought it up and basically created... It's like a miniature...
Wild West town.
Yeah, like almost like, I want to say Knott's Berry Farm, but on a smaller scale.
Growing up in New Jersey, we used to have a place in Netcong, New Jersey called Wild West City.
Yeah.
So it's the exact same thing. They have a train ride when you come in. There was a petting zoo like they have up here. Yeah. They have the restaurants, the stores and stuff. Except the posse like they had during the shootouts, which were every day. Here at Bonnie Springs were on the weekends. But they had a great show. What did they call that?
It was a melodrama.
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious.
You know, I think we'll...
That was like the old villain where they put the girl on the tracks.
Yes. I videotaped both shows, the melodrama and the hanging outside.
The hanging was, oh my gosh.
I think we'll upload the video to entice you to go look at the video, because I'm going to start trying to get the YouTube channel a little bit more in gear.
And to any of our local listeners, you better get out there by mid-March, because rumor is they're closing because they're starting to get rid of some of the animals. They're already talking about dismantling who wants what out of the restaurant. Yeah. They have some really cool, what would you call that, oak tables?
It was like natural stump. Cut
beautiful
tables in epoxy and the way...
My gosh. The one we sat out was little, like, perfect.
It was perfect. Going out there, it was just such a, as you like to put it, a mind douche.
Yes, it was a major mind douche.
It's like, as I described, it's like the astronaut. You're there for a little bit, and then you leave, and you're gone forever.
Yeah, but you know the nice thing was is that will always stay with you, because I wish I had gone there before, like a lot of families and people, as a historic Las Vegas getaway, because it's like... They have a little, I wouldn't say brook, but a little runoff of a pond.
Yeah.
They have some ducks.
And I think you were really liking the rock crusher.
Oh, yes.
The original mine rock crusher.
I thought it was gold mine.
Gold, silver, metal.
Okay, whatever this big Precious crusher metal. Was, but the amazing thing about this, if you look it up, it had a wooden wheel with the band, the belt on a wooden wheel that these guys would bring the ore out of the ground, would pound it, and then I guess they had to sift through it and mine through it when they rushed the water and stuff, and it just could make more ore. It was just unbelievable. That was the greatest thing I saw in so long to me. That's just incredible how they put their minds together back then to do that. It was just unbelievable. And then you see this big wooden wheel, like, holy smoke.
And you got to feed the peacock.
Yes.
That was the amazing thing. That peacock was sitting there. We went into one of the little... A lot of the stores are closed. And they're windowing out the merchandise. But we go into this one, and then they got like these strip flaps that are hanging down. Obviously,
like a meat locker.
Going
in and out with the cold to hold the cold
air.
Air
conditioning. Yes. Yeah. And we, lo and behold, there's this big, beautiful, full-grown peacock there. What do? You feed it.
I asked the lady, can I feed it? She said, yeah. I said, jump in, no problem. Peck, 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 peck.
Yeah.
This was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had. Feeding a peacock with the most beautiful blue and green colors.
We'll post it on Instagram soon. I got like over 200 pictures and video of things in this place.
The crusher and that, and then seeing the flow of like the old, we walked by the Bonneville Springs Hotel, seeing the older sign, like the rustic, you know, like it was out weathered forever.
They sold this place. It was great to talk to that one actor guy.
Yeah, I got to talk to the, we're not going to say who.
We won't say who, but we got the inside that the 66 acres have been sold for $30 million.
Because nobody wants to work anymore.
Nobody.
The family
doesn't want to work anymore.
I don't blame them. So the family's kids are all going to be taken care of. Unless somebody squanders the fortune, which happens. We don't want to see that happen. But at least they're taken care of.
Well, please, squander it and invest in another Bonnie Springs, too.
Yes.
No, I don't. They say they're going to build something. I don't see them reduplicating
it. I have an idea. We can have our own world based off a movie with our host here, Wayne's World. Why not? Bonnie Springs people invest in Wayne McKinnon's Wayne's Own World. And we can have something out in the desert. Not, it doesn't have to be that extravagant on 66 acres. 3, 4, 5 acres will do. And we could do the Shiny Squirrel podcast. We could have a big peanut on top
in
of one building.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Big terracotta squirrel.
Yeah, why not? Turn around. We can have it all. And we can. Wayne's mother can make the squirrels.
You're going back
stuff.
To the Jerry Lewis squirrel.
They're going to be $99.99 because they're handmade. And we'll ship them anywhere in the country.
$99.99.
Exactly. But I think you guys should invest in this. because that's a great thing. But honestly, it was a hell of a day.
It was a good trip out there. So
because it made you think, like, you know, they showed the wax museum.
Yeah.
Didn't they have, like, a lot of older, like, when I showed you the typewriters and
the
stuff?
The typewriter, I did take one of the old print keys. I had to do that. And then the bottles. Holy shit, the medical bottles.
How about that old Victrola that was rare?
Yeah.
And the organ, which they transported not by air freight, not by railroad.
By wagon.
Not by car, but wagon train. Could you imagine? It was $5,000.
Can you imagine bringing that thing
how about if
over
the, thing,
the wagon trail?
Yeah, but how about if it fell? Ding, 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 ding. Who pays the insurance
for that?
I knew I should have got
the insurance.
$5,000. But how did they get it over the Oregon Trail? The ups and downs?
You know, I remember as a kid we saw a black and white film about coming over the Oregon Trail. And Dad didn't want to bring the organ, the player, piano, whatever, organ, whatever. And Mom wanted to. And that thing was such a hassle to them. Where finally the Dad just got like, I'm sick of this. Rips it out of the back of the wagon and throws it over the embankment.
And if you see some of these other movies and, like, documentaries and stuff, they have a lot of wood stuffed with keys and stuff all over. Just got to be, oh, you did it, garbage time, let's get rid of this.
Yep.
But that sign did say, or the plaque, they said that this was how families showed their treasures in the parlors. People came over from the town, the church, you know, everybody gathered.
You had the key, the piano, you were in.
Yeah,
you
know, probably cooked tea, and, you know, on cold nights, everybody sung and different stuff like that. So that's just Americana West iconic. It's just amazing.
My last favorite thing, other thing I like, was the outhouse. That
you
put the dollar in, you open the door, and there's the man sitting on the john. And he's like, hey, how you doing? And what made me laugh is he's sitting there with an 1897 Sears and Roebuck catalog. And there's no toilet paper left on the toilet spool. And I was telling my mom, I'm going to send you this video. And she goes, well, yeah, we used it for the same thing. That's what they did back in the 40s or the 50s. Sears and Roebuck was...
And this is the same Mabel that took the bell. What'd she take?
Water pump.
Water pump. I can't wait to meet Wayne's mom one day and actually hear her in person, the how she just ripped it out like the Oregon Trail did, how they did this. She got her own water pump. That's pretty cool story.
So I've been kind of, for the podcast, the topic is going to be taxes, paperwork. If you're in business with yourself, you know the burden. I don't mind doing taxes. It's the burden of the paperwork I hate.
Well, it must be not too thrilling when you have employees, because you've had employees that you have to fill out tax work for.
Yeah.
That's got to be the extra yourself.
Luckily, I don't have employees anymore, and never will.
Oh, really? No more employees?
No more employees.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a good thing. You could take your time and fill out the tax
papers.
You're
doing the paperwork, you know, because there's this one portion of paperwork that you have to get to the CPA or your bookie. And that's like, I could be doing something more productive 2 hours. I could be playing hooky and going fishing.
Wait a second.
All that stuff comes together.
Bookie. Bookie is somebody you bet with. Okay,
bookkeeper.
I think you said a bookie. Okay.
You're bookkeeper.
Okay. I'm like, wait a second now. That's not what a bookie is for a terminology, what I've heard.
Well, you're bookie bookkeeper.
Okay. Well, no. Your bookie bookkeeper, if he keeps books, more than likely, like in the movie The Untouchables, he's going to have a problem. He's going to wind up getting shot or killed because it's not good to keep records.
So I thought we would talk about some of this stuff and some of the entrepreneurship.
Okay, start out.
Let's hit it. Beatles, Taxman first.
Excellent.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah.
like that, the lyrics. If you drive, I'll tax the street. If you get cold, I'll tax the heat. If you walk, I'll tax your feet.
It's like a rap version.
It's great. I mean, I've been actually listening to the lyrics on that remastered 2009 version. I like that a lot.
Okay. Now, taxation goes back, taxation with representation, without representation, all the way back to the 1700s. Go back to the Roman culture.
Yeah.
How do they turn around and keep track of what's taxed? They have to take care of, like, okay, the guy goes out, people don't like him, he goes on the road, they tax, okay, how many bushels of hay? How right. do they tax how much wheat? How do they tax, like, your wine? How did they turn around and tax, you know, like, your property of goats and, like, all kinds of animals and stuff? So what do they say? Well, say you get a 100 goats, well, 30 comes with us. They have to herd them
yeah.
and turn around, take the Roman soldiers to do stuff like that. So taxation has been going on for so long. But when I was back east, I was watching all kinds of like videos and stuff.
I got to throw you a question real quick before I forget. All right, so the oldest known career is the street, the madam, the lady, yeah. or whatever. Wouldn't the tax pay collector be the second oldest job? But I would think that would be the tax collector should be the first oldest profession.
I thought farming was, but who knows?
Well, farming is like you got to do that if you want to live, if you want to eat. But anyway, go ahead.
I don't know. Now you got me thrown off. Okay, so if that's the second one, did the madam or the oldest world profession, did she give a piece of her ass to turn around to give her taxes? Now, how do you tax that? What he got? Seriously, how do you go around and tax all this stuff?
But somehow in there, it was taxed.
Yes,
you know it was
tapped and taxed. But now going back to what I was going to say, if you ever look on the YouTube, they have like the world's greatest 10 finds, you know, if I had nothing to do,
right,
in Virginia, blah, 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 I did it. Okay, they found 7,500 pieces of Roman gold buried like maybe 2-3 feet. The guy was metal detecting because he lost a hammer. He called his friend in, and somewhere in UK, London, you know, England, blah,
really?
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
So what happens now is, was that to have tax evasion like people do today? Like they have offshore bank accounts.
Right.
And offshore whatever and this, and this, or people just take money. Was that the person's way of digging a hole and avoiding the tax man? That's a good question.
It makes sense.
How else would somebody take 7,500 pieces of gold and hide it when the Roman soldiers were killing? If you didn't pay your fair tax to Caesars, they would kill you in the streets, rape your women, take your land, everything. So was that their way of tax evasion? By burying these treasures? Because they're coming up, not a lot, but more and more. They're finding like little hoards and stuff.
Yeah.
So it could be stolen, number one, but... Or somebody could have overprinted it, like, you know, like extra money. What do you want to say? Like counterfeiting. But, you know, they overdid it that way. Or could it be taxed, the earliest known way of tax evasion? Who knows?
That's an interesting thought and concept.
Yes.
The first point of time in history of first tax evasion.
Yes. Because if you didn't give
it
to Caesars, exactly, they would kill you. So what happens if the person got killed and now somebody else gets it? And to get back to taxation... The people were not allowed to keep it. They got a reward because it was a national treasure. Welcome to the government. They taxed it, took it, gone.
Then that makes me think the taxation without representation makes me go straight to this one.
Rocking on a Roman mission and a splashing over the horizon. What can it be? The pilgrims sailed the sea to find a place to call their own. In their ship Mayflower, they hoped to find a better home. They finally knocked on Plymouth Rock, and someone said, "We're there." It may not look like home, but at this point I don't care. Oh, they were missing Mother England. They swore their loyalty until the very end. Anything you say, King, it's okay, King. You know it's kind of scary on your own. Gonna build a new land the way we planned. Could you help us run it till it's grown? They planted corn, you know. They built their houses one by one. And bit by bit they worked until the colonies were done. They looked around, yeah, up and down. Someone said, hooray! If the
he could only see us now, he would be proud of us today. They knew that now they'd run their own land. But George III still vowed he'd rule them to the end. Anything I say, do it my way now. Anything I say, do it my way. Don't you get to feeling independent, 'cause I'm gonna force you to obey. He taxed their property, he didn't give them any choice. And back in England, he didn't give them any voice. That's called taxation without representation, and it's not fair. But when the colonies complained, the king said, I don't care. He even has the nerve to tax our cup of tea. To put it kindly, king, we really don't agree. Gonna show you how we feel. We're gonna dump this tea and turn this harbor into the biggest cup of tea in history. They wanted no more Mother England. They knew the time had come for them to take command. It's very clear you're being unfair, king. No matter what you say, we won't obey. Gonna hold a revolution now, king, and we're gonna run it all away with no more king.
We're gonna elect a president.
No more king.
He's gonna do what the people want.
No more king.
We're gonna run things our way.
No more king.
Nobody's gonna tell us what to do.
Rocking and a rolling, swishing and a splashing over the horizon. What can it be? Looks like it's going to be a free country.
When was the last time you saw that? It's been about 40,
yeah.
I'm going to say 43 years since I've seen and listened to that from Schoolhouse Rock.
Probably roughly maybe 42, 43 years, five or six, yeah. Wow, but that was such a great call you did. That's perfect.
The line, the taxation without representation, the king thing, that fits in well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, entrepreneurs, you're always, you as an entrepreneur myself, when I run my own business, I'm not going to get into what it is because that's keep the Ghostbusters. Don't cross the beams. I'm not bringing that into here. You always will get to a point where, like, yes, I got to do my own work. I got to do all this extra stuff. But at the same time, you don't have to ask for a day off. You don't have to ask for permission if you need a doctor's appointment.
Nope.
You can do whatever you want.
And the beautiful thing is, if you want to go out and get a cup of tea or coffee,
mm-hmm.
you're going to pay 8 to 10% sales tax. So
yeah.
There might be no more king,
there.
But there's always some kind of hidden tax in life. Always something you get taxed on.
Well, there's a lot of neat places you can find influence, dedication, positivity where you didn't expect it. And I want to play what I remember as, if you don't think, then you never thought of applying this, but if you listen to it, you can actually slice it up and go, that is what it is like starting your own business. Parts of it. Let me get it. Here we go.
Kills men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that?
No!
We will run!
And we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Yeah!
Gibson, Braveheart, the freedom speech. You look at that, you know, that the freedom of being and having your own business, not being held down by the corporate mumbo-jumbo, the whole nonsense, you know. Go ahead.
No, no, that's pretty cool because I'm thinking about the complete other side of the role of the thumb is let's say you do something on the IGG side, ill-gotten gain side, like you're a drug dealer, you're a bookie, whatever you're doing, whatever kind of hustle.
Mm-hmm.
The mob has a opposed street tax. If you don't pay, they break your bones. If not, it burns up. Something happens. So no matter which way you think you're going to get away with it, there is some kind of tax.
Like protection money.
Yes, yes.
Insurance money.
Yes, but if they know you're a drug dealer or something or doing something you're not supposed to, they'll come shake you down. You don't give it to us, boom, they'll blow it up. Just same thing like just like the IRS, a different version of enforcement. That's all.
Yeah.
You got to keep everything in check. Got to pay your taxes. If it's a little or a lot, what's the difference?
Like the old episode of Happy Days when Fonz actually had the option to buy the garage. And he did, and he became his own boss.
Yes.
The head mechanic, the only mechanic, it was Fonzie's Garage.
And then he became part owners in Big Al's or Happy Days.
Yeah.
Or what do they call
Arnold's.
It? Arnold's.
Yeah.
And then it's just, America.
It shows you how it goes.
Ingenuity.
From there, you know? Ingenuity.
I'm sad they're selling Bonnie Springs. Because even though the government's going to get a nice piece of taxes out of the $30 million, it takes away from us average Joes who are just surviving life to have a place to just mind relax for the day.
I still feel like there's a lot unknown, but I mean, because that is one of the first, when I first moved here, before I got things set up for what I was doing, I needed something to bring in a little bit of income. I went out there, it was 9.5 years ago, I went out there and I worked at the haunted house.
That must have been neat.
I was in the same building where the Rock Crusher was every night. So I got to finally see all the other stuff finally again.
And the Rock Crusher, that must have brought back some good memories this trip.
I told you the story about how I would hear people's names outside before they came in. And then when they came in, their eyes weren't focused, so I could run circles around them because my eyes were fine to the dark. And there'd be, you know, I would say, you know, Susie, I'm going to kick your, get your throat, cut your throat. And you would just hear these kids crying, how does he know my name? And it's just so much fun. I loved it. But I can't, never say never.
Oh,
right?
That's funny. Never say never.
But now, have you ever seen a movie that has been in the theaters that kind of has an explanation of what a business model or a business plan is that goes with it?
All the Money in the World. It was just out about the Exxon.
Yeah.
The Exxon money. Mm-hmm. The guy who founded Exxon, everything.
Yeah.
Except he never had the money. He turned around and kept it all as not a proprietorship. All as a non-profit, had to keep reinvesting itself.
Oh, my gosh.
He could buy anything he wanted, but he couldn't keep it. He didn't own it. It all went to the company.
Yeah.
So more ways.
Because I've had a few people ask me, you know, I'm thinking about banking, blank, 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 start a business. What kind of advice can you give me? Well, first bit of advice I give them is, I say, you want to get your own niche. Your niche. What is that that you're going to focus on, you're going to stay with? Get good at that before you start saying, oh, well, not only am I good, you know, raising the cows for the hamburger, I think I'm going to go open my own fast food hamburgers. Just focus on the cows.
Don't forget,
first.
You need potatoes for french fries.
Yeah,
so you better have
cows.
A friend who's a farmer.
But you need that niche. Or as they said in this one movie, that niche. You got to have that niche. It was a great movie. Let's play the trailer for it.
Okay now, Charlie. I'm going to show you the most beautiful thing in the world.
For generations, the Price family has been famous for their shoes. Now, if Charlie can't save the business,
I had to fire 15 people today.
His entire town will be left in the cold.
What can I do?
Do.
Change the product.
Ladies, gentlemen, and those who are yet to make up your mind.
Look behind you. It's your niche market, Charlie.
Do you think there is a market for boots for women? That I meant.
All this way for my advice, I feel like Oprah.
Now,
Charlie?
If they can learn to work together,
morning, Charlie.
They might just get the town back on its feet.
Please, God, tell me I have not inspired something burgundy.
But they're comfy.
Sex shouldn't be comfy!
made.
Thank God, I thought it was just me.
You are making 2.5 feet of irresistible tubular sex.
Any questions?
This spring,
there are some very funny people out there.
The only way to succeed in life,
does he look sexy?
It does to me, George.
Is to put your best foot forward.
I give you the Kinky Boot Factory!
Sad girl. Talking about the sad girl.
Thank you.
Kinky Boots.
Can I just ask, are you a man?
I am, love, yes.
Just so I know how to leave the toilet seat. I'll get some biscuits.
Okay, so the first time I remember seeing that, it's a funny movie. It's got a lot of just, you hear the word niche so many times. But I remember after watching it, I'm like, I think I just watched a How to Get Your Business Plan and Idea Together.
I'm talking about another movie based on business. Was Risky Business?
Yes.
Okay. That actor, I'm pretty sure, played the opening drag queen that came to his house before he met Rebecca De Mornay.
Okay.
And they did all the you know, renting extra cots and everything.
Right,
and they made all
right.
the money. So another business economic. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
But it's amazing on what sells and what doesn't sell.
Yeah, because the town was going to collapse. The boot, the old shoe factory wasn't going to be making money anymore. Had to make a decision. By chance, he crosses paths with a drag queen. She said, long story short, I need boots that hold a man's weight. And that's what they changed the product from. They find a niche. End of good story.
Well, it's just like the beginning of Risky Business.
Yeah.
That was a niche that it went from. The same type of gender, cross-dressing.
Yeah.
Different type of business. That was in the sex business, but that's the same...
Same idea.
Same actor, though. I'm telling you, played that. It's amazing on how you see people have the same roles down the line. I'm amazed by this. Business, like you say, business plan. Very simple in life. If you don't have enough money and you can't get a loan, start small. Do it from your house.
Yes.
And always network. Facebook, Twitter, whatever, get it out.
Instagram, do something.
Yes, get it out. You know? And talk to your friends. What do they call that other one? Craigslist. I'm not a computer person. There's so much technology.
We are in such a goal. As far as the communication with getting your niche out, it's never been better.
And
we used to have a thing back in the 90s called lead groups, where there'd be like a group of business people. You can never have more than one person doing two things. So you can't have two car salesmen. You can't have two insurance salesmen. Now, you could have a life insurance salesman and maybe an automobile insurance salesman, but there are no two things at the same. So you got the candle, the cook, and the bottom.
And how about somebody selling not just insurance? How about somebody selling like different kind of products? In other words, like timeshares or investments and stuff like that. So I could just imagine that group lead sounds very dead end to me.
It was at the time; it felt very dead end, but it was a way.
Those helicopter people that you don't like.
It was new businesses, basically. So what we were doing is circling the wagons to try and give ourselves a pep talk. That's what it was for. At least that's in my hindsight.
And now that's why you have Shark Tank nowadays, which
yes.
is an excellent thing on how they tell you pre-tax. What's your projection there? So if it's $500,000 pre-tax, I mean, tax is inevitable.
Yep.
Everything is taxed.
And that's why I'm looking forward to, as we are going to be going on this entrepreneurial journey with our new person, Tate Watson. See what she's going to be doing maybe once a month, checking in with her and see where she's at.
Another business venture.
She's going to be a good conversation. That's what I like.
Like somebody told us at improv, never say no. Always embrace the idea as long as it doesn't physically harm you or anything crazy.
Yeah.
Never say no and always keep an open mind.
That guy must have been a genius. So I think that wraps it up for our podcast here for Taxation with Representation and Being a Nerd.
And if you turn around and want to squirrel some of your nuts away, do so, because you never know
when
you're going to need them for a rainy day.